though we are on our own homes, separated long distances, we thank God we can come together and worship and praise our God collectively. Of course, today is a special day. It's a landmark day for Christianity, whereby we remember the death of Christ on the cross on our behalf. Christ, I will try to present as much as I can in present tense so that we can feel that we are part of the whole thing. Christ was unique. As you know that he is fully human and fully divine. Not only prominent, but he is preeminent, as we read in Colossians 1st chapter. His mission was completed on the cross in our redemption. When he was on the earth, people astonished at his teachings. He performed miracles, healed the sick, showed authority over demons, raised the dead, and even offered forgiveness of sins, which no others in the universe could have. Peter said that Jesus was Son of God. John described Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the Son of God. His main mission was to go to the cross and to give himself on our behalf, which he did. And we have been forgiven and redeemed. His mission was accomplished, and God's plan was completed. This morning I would like to share with you, if I may, the 7 words Christ spoke, last 7 words Christ spoke on the cross. Jesus Christ was mocked, scorned, tortured, and was nailed to the cross. And he was hung between 2 common criminals. This morning, let us remind ourselves and meditate on the last 7 words Christ spoke on the cross. The words he spoke confirms who he was, is, and will be. The first word he spoke was from Luke 23rd chapter, 34th verse. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Jesus of Nazareth is looking down from the cross just after he is crucified between 2 criminals. He sees the soldiers who have mocked, scourged, and tortured him, and who have just nailed him to the cross. He probably remembers those who have sentenced him, maybe also thinking of his apostles, disciples, companions who have deserted him. Peter, who has denied him 3 times, and praised him on his entrance to Jerusalem. And then, days later, demanded his crucifixion. Maybe, for sure, he is also thinking of us, you and me, who daily forget him in our lives. Does he react angrily when he said those words? No. At the height of his physical suffering, his love prevails. And he asks his Father to forgive. Could there be greater irony? Jesus asks his Father to forgive. But it is by his very sacrifice on the cross that mankind is able to be forgiven. And the second word he spoke on the cross, that's also in Luke 23, verse 43. He said, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now it is not the just religious leaders or the soldiers that mock Jesus, but even one of the criminals, a downward progression of mockery. But the criminal on the right speaks up for Jesus, explaining that two criminals are receiving their just due. Whereas he said, "This man has done nothing wrong." Then turning to Jesus, he asks, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." What wonderful faith this repentant sinner has in Jesus, far more than the doubting Thomas, one of his own apostles. Ignoring his own suffering, Jesus responds with mercy in his second word. That is, he said, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This word is again about forgiveness, this time directed to a sinner. It's by his divinity, Jesus Christ opening heaven for a repentant sinner. Generosity to a man that only asks to be remembered. This expression offers us hope for salvation. For if we turn our hearts to him and accept his forgiveness, we will also be with Jesus for eternity. Jesus Christ is fully divine, having full authority to open heaven for a repentant sinner. The third word he spoke on the cross, Jesus said, addressing to his mother, "Woman, this is your son." Then he said to his disciples, "Disciple, this is your mother." We can read in John 19, verse 26. Jesus and Mary are together again. At the beginning of his ministry, in the wedding reception in Cana, and now at the end of his public ministry at the foot of the cross. Jesus is the only evangelist. John is the only evangelist to record Jesus Christ's Mother Mary at the cross. Jesus refers to his mother as a woman at the wedding feast of Cana. And in this passage, recalling the woman in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. What sorrow must fill Mary's heart? How she must have felt meeting her son as he carried the cross. And then she had to watch him being nailed to the cross. Once again, a sword pierces Mary's soul. We are reminded of the prophecy of Simeon at the presentation of the infant Jesus in the temple in Luke 2nd chapter. The loved ones of Jesus are with him in John's gospel. There are four at the foot of the cross. Mary, his mother, John, the disciple whom he loved, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. He addresses his third word to his mother Mary and John. Jesus again raises about the occasion as he cares for the one that loves him. The good son that he is, Jesus is concerned about looking after his mother. Jesus addresses to John to care for her. Expressing love, care, concern, and responsibility for his earthly mother, he expressed fully that he is human with human emotions. That's an instruction for us to follow as well. We cannot ignore our own loved ones. We have to continue to show our concern, love, and carry our responsibilities. The fourth word he spoke while he was on the cross, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It's originally, it was in Aramaic, it says, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." This was the only expression of Jesus in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark. Both Gospels related that it was the ninth hour, after 3 hours of darkness, that Jesus cried out this fourth word. The ninth hour was 3 o'clock in Judea. After the fourth word, Mark related the horrible sense of finality, and Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. One is struck by the anguished tone of this expression in contrast to the first three words of Jesus. He feels separated from his Father. This is the only time, throughout his life, he said, "My God, my God." Every time used the word "my Father." This cry is from the painful heart of human Jesus, who must have felt deserted by his Father. not to mention his earthly companions and disciples, who all left him and fled. This is the only time he calls Heavenly Father as his God. But it is not exactly what happens to all of us when we also die. We too are all alone at the time of death. Jesus completely leaves the human experiences as we do, and doing so frees us from the clutches of sin. His fourth word is the opening line of Psalm 22. And thus his cry from the cross recalls the cry of Israel and of all innocent persons who suffer. Psalm 22 of David makes a striking prophecy of the crucifixion of the Messiah. Thousands of years before, David prophesied at the time when crucifixion was not known to exist. David said in Psalm 22, "They have pierced my hands and my feet, and they have numbered all my bones." The psalm continues how exactly it has been prophesied. It's been said, David said, "They divided my garments among them, and for my vestures they cast lots." There cannot be a more dreadful moment in the history of man as this moment. Jesus, who came to save us, is crucified. And he realizes the horror of what is happening and what he now is enduring. He is about to be engulfed in the raging sea of sin. Evil triumphs, as Jesus admits, "But this is your hour," in Luke 22:53. But it is only for a moment. The burden of all the sins of humanity for a moment overwhelm the humanity of our Savior. This includes my sin and your sin as well. It is in defeat of his humanity that the divine plan of his Father will be completed. It is by his death that we are redeemed. In 1 Timothy 2nd chapter, verses 5 and 6, we can read, "For there is one God, there is also one mediator between God and the human race, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself as a ransom for all." And also in 1 Peter 2nd chapter 24th verse, we can read, "He himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross, so that free from sin we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." And the fifth word he spoke on the cross, he just said, "I thirst." We can read that in John 19, chapter 28, verse. He just said, "I thirst." The fifth word of Jesus is his only human expression of his physical suffering. Jesus is now in shock. The wounds inflicted upon him in the scourging, the crowning with thorns, losing his blood on the 3-hour walk to through the city of Jerusalem on the Via Dolorosa to Golgotha, and the nailing upon the cross are now taking their toll. The Gospel of John first refers to thirst when Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well. After first asking for a drink, he answers the woman, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." This passage implies there is more than just physical thirst. Jesus also thirsts in a spiritual sense. He thirsts for love. He thirsts for the love of his Father, who has just left him momentarily, unaided during this dreadful hour when he must fulfill his mission all alone. For our redemption. Sixth word he spoke on the cross was, when Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and handed over the Spirit. That's John 19th verse, 19th chapter, 30th verse. The Gospel of John recalls the sacrifice of the Passover lamb in Exodus 12th chapter. In this passage, the soldiers offered wine and a sprig of hyssop to the Lord. Hyssop is a small plant that was used to sprinkle the blood of the Passover lamb on the doorposts of the Hebrews. John's Gospel related that it was the day of preparation, the day before the actual Sabbath Passover, that Jesus was sentenced to death and sacrificed on the cross. John continues, "It is been written, but when they came to Jesus and saw he was already dead, they did not break his legs." Recalling the instruction in Exodus 12, chapter 46 verse, concerning the Passover lamb, "He died at the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, about the same time as the Passover lambs were slaughtered in the temple." Christ became the Passover lamb, as noted by Paul in 1 Corinthians 5th chapter, 7th verse. We read, "For Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. The innocent lamb was slain for our sins, so that we might be forgiven." The sixth word is Jesus' recognition that his suffering is over and his task is completed. Jesus is obedient to the Father and gives his love for mankind by redeeming us with his death on the cross. Christ was the only one. He is the only one who was capable and qualified to say, "It is finished." No other person in the whole world was as an authority to say this. In contrast to everybody's claim, nobody ever said this word. it is finished. When Jesus died, he handed over the Spirit. Jesus remained in control until the end. And it is he who handed over his Spirit. In the fourth word, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? When he was momentarily separated. And now, he been united with his Father when he accomplished his mission. In the last word, the seventh word, he was able to say, we can read that in Luke chapter 23, 46th verse. After he realized that his mission was completed and he accomplished, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He has been united with the Father again. The seventh word of Jesus is from the Gospel of Luke and is directed to the Father in heaven just before he dies. Jesus recalled the Psalm 31, fifth verse, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Jesus was obedient to his Father to the end. And his final word before his death on the cross was a prayer to his Heavenly Father. The relationship of Jesus to the Father is revealed in the Gospel of John. For he remarked, the Father and I are one. And again at the Last Supper, he said, do you not believe I am the Father and the Father is one? I am in the Father and the Father is one. The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his work. And he can return. I came from the Father, and I have come into the world again. I am leaving the world and going to the Father. Jesus fulfills his own mission and that of his Father on the cross. We all know this verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Christ rose victoriously on the third day, and he ascended to heaven afterwards. Right now, Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding and pleading on our behalf as an advocate. And soon, for sure, he will return as a ruler and as a judge. On this day of remembrance, Father, give us a deeper sense of gratitude for the amazing gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
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 And Steve, you will be singing now?
Yeah.
I would request Brother Ray to be prepared for the closing prayer, Brother Ray.